We're talking here with Torah V'Shamayer, and I want to shift gears a little bit, speak about it in the context of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, and to try to develop what I think are a variety of intriguing ideas, all which I think are very, very important and in many ways very, very relevant. Here in Likutei HaMechachmah, Chelek Aleph, page 188, so V'Shamayer opens with the following Torah. Horshivas Hayamim Habesh Gila, Baal Shem Tov revealed. Shekol Masha Zacha L'Masha Zacha, all that he ever attained religiously, all that he ever attained in this world, Madregos Ka'ela She'ein L'Shayer, these are Madregos which it's hard to fully appreciate just how great the Baal Shem was able to reach, so how he was able to reach. Hakol B'Kolach Masha'im Mekusha, this must call Echad Mi'Yisrael, B'Tachas Ha'achtas. The Baal Shem, the reason why I got to that Madrega was because I felt a certain connection, a certain oneness with the rest of the Jewish people. That when Chazal tell us, V'hatvecha kamocha, zeh klal gadol b'torah, so sometimes that zeh klal gadol b'torah, it's an amazing idea, that sometimes when there are things that we hear, or songs that we hear when we're younger, so we can take advantage, we can sort of look over it and what it really means. It means a wildly important idea. Zeh klal gadol b'torah, the V'hatvecha kamocha is of such a critical nature, that becomes like, again, how you define zeh klal gadol b'torah is not so clear, but it certainly highlights its importance. And Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah becomes something which isn't only important for its own right, but the Baal Shem understood that a person who can connect to a wide spectrum of Jews, a person who can connect to the neshamas of Klal Yisrael, so that person is going to be able to reach levels, to reach madregas that other people would not be able to reach. Now on some level that makes a lot of sense before we get into anything of the Torah of Shemayah per se. A person that is more closed, a person that can only connect to a small, narrow group of individuals, so that person's always going to be more limited. That person, in terms of the areas where they can grow, if I can only connect to people who are exactly like this or exactly like that, so I'm never going to be able to fully develop in a healthier kind of a way to really be able to grow, to learn from, and to move in good directions. But if I can appreciate what this person offers and what that person offers, not just to appreciate, but I can feel a sense of oneness. I can feel a connection with those kinds of people. So the more that that is true, the more that I'm going to be able to appreciate the different forms of avoda which are there, the more that I can expand my repertoire and that I can be a person who's much sort of deeper, a person who's more sensitive, and a person that's more, in many ways, just is able to attain a degree of success in a very, very beautiful, in a very beautiful way. Which Meyer understands, and we're going to build a little bit to what I think is maybe perhaps one of the most important points. But when you see the importance of Adam L'Chaveiro, not only individually, but even nationally. When Chazal tells the Gemara Maseches Yuma and Daf Tes, the second base HaMikdash is Necharav, is destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, that because there was this discord in Klal Yisrael, the Mikdash ended up being destroyed. So we know that Chazal tells in any generation when the Mikdash was not rebuilt, had it been built, it would have been destroyed. It's a Maimer Chazal Yerushalmi, which people quote all the time on Tisha B'Av, but it's true the rest of the year also. And in that sense, the Sinas Chinam, and this we know, says Richard Meyer, the Sinas Chinam is still there. Adayin HaSatan VaYitzaharas Sinas Chinam Uper Alvavos Meraki Beinenu. The Satan, it's a beautiful way of saying it. The Satan of Sinas Chinam is still dancing amongst us. It's having an awesome time because he's winning. That midah of that lack of ava is very, very much there. Is very much there, says Rabbi Shemayer. Not that it's the worst it's ever been in Klal Yisrael. No, it's not that it's terrible, but it's not where it needs to be. It's not where it needs to be. And in that sense, understands Rabbi Shemayer that a person who's able to fix this, that ends up causing geula also. That one of the ways that a person can experience, and a person can help foster redemption, is by fixing that chet of sinas chinam, as it says in some of the svarim of avas chinam is begematria yibana hamikdash. That I don't know if that's true, but let's assume that it is. That's what they say. And if you're able to, and a person that's able to cultivate that on some level is able to go in a very, very powerful place and end up bringing geula. Why is this so? So we'll have 3 or 4 minutes of the Torah Shabbat. They don't want to elaborate on some of the ideas. Which reminds us as follows. If you look in Chazal, Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta, so it understands there that what's the name of Mashiach? So Chazal were intrigued by that question. What is Mashiach's name? Chazal and the Gemara and Hedron asked that question. The Gemara in there, Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta, it says, what's the name of Mashiach? The name of Mashiach is Shalom. Based on the Pasuk, it can say for Yeshaya, Avi Atzar Shalom. and Asadlava will be able to experience what's going to happen at the time of Geula. There's going to be a degree of Shalom. That part of the fundamental characteristic of the time period of Mashiach is that it's a time period in which there is Shalom. It's a time period where things can be very, very good. And here's an amazing Ha'ara. If we gave you a chart, you know, Pinchas ben Yair had this Sulam, the Gemara of Rezara, the Maseilas Yesharim is based on, this ladder upon which people develop and people grow. And if we would have given someone who didn't know our scene so much, but a person would have said, here's 10 things. What's the order in which people sort of work and develop these things? And one of them would have been, you know, serious dedication of Talmud Torah many, many hours a day. Another one would have been very intense, you know, commitment to tefillah and dedicating significant time to tefillah. Another would have been, you know, whatever it would be, keeping Shabbos really, really well with all of the pratim. Another would have been being a good, decent person and treating other people nicely. And another would have been, you would have people rate. Which do you think people master earlier? And which do you think people, it takes them much more time to master? If you would have a chart like that, I would imagine that many, many of us would have suspected that the idea of being a good, decent person, derech eretz kadma l'torah, that would have been like the most, you know, that would have been easy. That eradicating, you know, sinas chinam from our midst would have been significantly simpler than anything else. That's what I would have suspected. And I would have thought that the idea of learning so many hours a day, that's a skill which is like really high up, and that you only get to when you've really been able to, you know, to reach a certain level, so then a person is able to dedicate that phenomenon. It happens to be, which Amar touches on this a little bit, it's not true. It's not true, and it has been true for a very long time, if ever. The reason the Ramchal in the beginning of Maseilas Yesharim points us out that sometimes priorities can be off a little bit. And while we all know, no one takes offense to the comment of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, when you hear the Reb Chaim Vital used to say the reason why there's no, in Shari Kedusha, he writes, the reason why there's no mitzvah to have good midos is because good midos are the prerequisite for all other mitzvos. No one gets up and says that is absolutely ridiculous. Some say it's because having good midos is a mitzvah. Fine. But no one says, like, no way they're important. I don't buy it for a minute. There's no way that's important as a value at all. That should be like maybe on the side, but a prerequisite to midos? No way. No one hears the Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah speech and says that idea makes no sense. That's offensive, fundamentally offensive. Can't be. But the Ramchal points out, it doesn't mean that a person couldn't easily overlook some of these elements, that a person couldn't learn a lot and not be able to fix certain characters. It can happen. Priorities can get messed up a little bit. And so Salanter in particular, in that world of Midos, pointed that out, that people can learn for a long time. But if you're learning for a long time and there isn't that Musar Seder, if you're learning for a long time and there isn't that Seder where a person tries to focus and cultivate and having better Midos, so what's going to end up happening? They just won't have better Midos. But can't Torah do it all on its own? So different theories as to why it can't, but apparently not always. And apparently a person that's not working and having good midos, that's not brought up in a culture of Musar, so that person's going to be missing something. That person's going to be lacking something. There's something there, some fundamental pigam, which is going to be taking place. And it can be very damaging. It can be very, very damaging. And that can happen in our scene also, where people could learn a lot. But the fact that a person has learned a lot and they're here doesn't mean that the more basic levels have been attained, and that's part of what Korban Beis HaMikdash was. Korban Beis HaMikdash was people that were able to be good, they were able to learn, and they were able to be committed, but there wasn't that same degree of there was sinsinam, that there was pirud, which took place. So long as there is pirud, there is the opportunity to struggle in many ways. Richard Meyer goes one step further, and I think this is an important point. V'hine, ha'adam she'yesho das emes, she'hi das shel shalom, az yesho ashiras amitis, k'mo she'ne'emar tov ayin hu yivorach, u'me'ila hu meyer panim lezulaso v'o'ev l'kanafsho, u'mashem kol chas v'nosav. A person who sees things accurately, a person who has a certain clarity of thought, a person who experiences a certain sense of contentment with their life, can feel comfortable. They can feel ki'ilu, they are wealthy. Tov ayin, pasuk in Mishlei, hu yivorach. If you see good in others, you will be blessed. That person feels good. And when you can identify that good in others, when you can recognize other people are good people, so what you are therefore more likely to do is, I'm more likely to want to interact with them. I'm more likely to want to be mashpia good on them. I'm more likely to want to bring them up, to encourage them. And I'm more likely to highlight the good parts of them instead of that magnifying glass on the worst parts of them. I can bring them up in that kind of a way. That's part of Rabbi Nachman famously about Dalat Kaf Schus. That if you find the person and the good in that person, so highlight that good in the person. And then you're able to uplift that person in a very, very different way. Where I can build the positive encouragement. Whoa, it's awesome you did that. So then you're moving things in a good direction. It doesn't mean you can never give mussar, but it's in the context of good, you know, of respect, it's very much like we mentioned sometimes from Rashi, beginning of Sefer Dvarim. When Rashi, beginning of Sefer Dvarim, points out, it's the most simple chinuch ha'ara. Rashi and Dvarim wants to give B'nai Yisrael mussar. So Rashi gives B'nai Yisrael mussar, gives B'nai Yisrael mussar. Rashi explains by mentioning subtly the names of places where they sinned. He doesn't explicitly call them out. B'nai Kvodan Shel Yisrael, because of the covet of B'nai Yisrael, what does he do? He has subtle references. If they kvodan, he can give them mussar. If a person has tov ayin, if they see good in people, so then that's like a heter to give a little bit of mussar. But if not, not at all. And a person who feels good, who feels content, who feels wealthy in the sense that they feel like things are good, so then they can be able to give it over in a much more significant and more powerful way. But says Rabbi Meyer, the opposite is also true. Apashah sha'adam bal b'chinas aniyas b'geshm v'ruach. When a person is down sometimes, people who are down get down. And when you're down, you start viewing the negative in things. A guy that's like, you're in a little bit bad, and you get flustered a little bit and you're in a bad zone. So all I start identifying with are the bad things that are there. It's like you have that sometimes. You have that with kids. By that I mean by all of us also, that you have that. It's easier to say it that way. You have that with kid comes home from school. How was school today? Absolutely terrible. And they go through all the things, you know, that were possibly terrible. How is this? And when a person is down, they're like, all the negativity in the world, like it's a lightning rod, or it's there's a magnetic pull between them and that negativity. And you just find those things in everything which is there. You find those things, everything which is there. I'm just pulled to it. Because a person's in a low place. It could be a low place because I'm in a low place. I don't have any money. It could be in a low place. I'm in a low place because I feel bad about myself. Ruchnius-wise, I'm not doing what I want to be doing. And there's this gravitational pull, you know, to that. And it just feeds off of each other. The negativity begets negativity. Negativity begets negativity. And a person like that can't uplift other people because you're a chefza of negativity. And you don't have enough positivity to uplift. Because we're so down. And in many ways, sinas chinam flows not because of the other person. Sinas chinam flows when a person themselves is not that happy with where they are. Sinas chinam comes from a place where I'm not feeling where I want to be. And ahavas chinam comes from a place where I'm feeling really good and positive, and I'm able to frame things to see things in this positive way. That a lot of it's a reflection of me. I was in Smicha, there was a Rav that came to spoke to us, a Rav of Shul, who said something that I think about all the time because it was so on target. That I give drushas in Shul, I give sermons in Shul. And there are times where I will give a great drusha, and a guy will come over, and it's just what I'm really proud of. I think it's really fantastic. It's objectively better than some other weeks. And a guy will come over and say, Rabbi, that drusha was terrible this week. I don't know how you could do that. It was so not good. You're usually so much better. And then there are situations where I give it to Rasha. He's like, and it wasn't good. Like, objectively, it was not good. I wasn't prepared. It wasn't structured. I wasn't so clear. I didn't even know what I was talking about. It was really not that good of a Rasha at all. But you know what happened? A guy came over afterwards and said to me, Rabbi, that Rasha was awesome. It was great. The rabbi said, one of the things that you notice is that, again, sometimes people are on target. But what often happens is if the guy lost his job that week, irrespective of how good your Rasha was, he's going to tell you it was bad. It was bad. The drush was bad because he's in such a broken place. If he got into a fight with his wife in the morning, you know, or with his kids on the way to shul, and he heard your drusha, in that place where he is at, it's going to be a little bit more negative. And the reverse is true also. If you sold, you know, and suddenly it was a good week this week. It was awesome this week. And you walk into shul and the rabbi says something which is totally off target and it makes no sense at all. But you're feeling so good. So, Rabbi, best Rasha I ever heard. Best Rasha I ever heard. It was amazing. If the guy, you know what, he had, things had not been going that well with his family life, but you know what happened? He had a daughter, and she was having a hard time finding someone, and now she's going out with someone really seriously. Looks like they're going to get engaged. You come into shul, you're like, Rabbi, that was a great drasha this week. That was unbelievable. His point was, when you're the rabbi giving the drasha, never let it get to your head in either direction too much. Feedback is important, but the overwhelming extreme feedback in any direction is more often than not a reflection of how that person's week was, more than it is a reflection as to the quality of your drasha or anything like that. That is the yisod which Richard Meyer is touching on right now. If a person is in a place of tov ayin, who you vote, you see good in things. You're in a good place. You're happy with where you are. You can take a deep breath and say, Rabbona Shalom, I'm all good. So you know what's going to happen? You'll see that good in other people, and you'll be able to lift them up, and you'll bring that sense of Ahavas Chinam. You'll say, oh my God, that was the best thing I've ever... That was an unbelievable meal. You know, it was so good. It's a Gemara in Ksubas and Kiyadai, you know? Kalana v'chasuda. Wow, she looks beautiful, you know? You're in a good place. You're happy. You can see some of that stuff. And if you can't see that at all, and if a person's in a little bit of a low place, so then it gets very, very tricky. How do we get out of that low place? And here's the irony. How do we get out of that place? Said to Richard Meyer, "Biaz b'tikuni ha-nefesh tikin gadol mizat." The greatest tikkun you can have in that situation, because adam b'lehetivim zulaso b'lev emes. That if a person, you want to purify yourself and bring good, do something good for somebody else. It feeds in that direction also. In the lesson of Rav Dessler, you know, of the Hav and Ahava, the more that you give and the more that you can provide and the more that you can see good and be mated for someone else, oddly enough, it'll get you out of that place also. It'll get you out of that place of negativity, that place where everything is evil, that place where everything is bad, and it can uplift you a little bit. That giving and providing for someone else is one of the best ways to be able to uplift. Richard Meyer on Sinas Chinam and Avas Chinam here is saying some very, very important Torah. Important Torah about the way that a person, what caused Chorban, Sinas Chinam, what brings Geula, Mashiach's name is Shalom, and that's what Geula in many ways is about. That often Sinas Chinam, the Baal Shem said, he was Zocht his Madregas because he felt oneness with Klal Yisrael. That in many ways Sinas Chinam and Avas Chinam are reflections not of the other, but rather of ourselves. And that when we're in a good place, Avas Chinam becomes very easy. And when we are in a bad place, so Sinas Chinam becomes a little bit more natural. And that the way that we get out of it, argues Richard Meyer, is by providing and doing for others. The more a person can do for others and try their best to see the good in another human being, that will also lift you up in a meaningful way. In a meaningful way in which you'll be able to be successful, and which Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach will be able to experience good in its clearest and most real way possible. So hopefully, again, that potential for Sinas Chinam can lead to an Avas Chinam, which can lead to a Yibana HaMikdash. And by that we mean with an ability to feel good enough about ourselves that we are moved to feel good about others. And to be able to identify the value of feeling good about others, to the extent which it can also lift us up. Shkayach, and have a wonderful rest of your day.